have we noticed how faithful our God is? We have been unfaithful to Him so many times. But our God is so faithful. He has kept us even though we wandered away from Him so many times. He has called us back to Himself and said, "My child, I love you. I am faithful to my promises." Can we just sing this chorus one more time? If we can lift our hands to the Lord and declare that the steadfast love of the Lord, hallelujah, declare about the faithfulness of God. Declare how wonderful the Lord is, hallelujah. Can we all just sing together? Lift up your hands and just declare these words as we are singing, hallelujah.
Steadfast love of the Lord never ceases. His mercies never come to an end. They are new every morning. New every morning. Great is thy
a wonderful God. You are such a faithful God. Many times we made promises that we have not kept. We have turned away from you, Lord, but this morning we acknowledge your steadfast love. We acknowledge your loving kindness. We acknowledge your faithfulness. This morning as we stand before you, you are our God. We will not lack anything in our life. I pray that you bless your people. I pray that you open our eyes as we hear from you, Lord. Lord, we want to hear from you this morning. I pray that the words that comes out of my mouth will be your words, Lord. I pray that you talk to each and everyone who is here. I pray for the tithes and the offering that your people have given, Lord. I pray that not a single penny that they give to the Lord will not go unreturned, Father. I pray that you return them with manifold dividends and blessings upon their lives. We give you the glory and honor. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Amen. Please shake your neighbor's hand and say welcome to our fellowship. And please be seated. Please be seated in the presence of God. Amen. Hallelujah. Such a wonderful thing to see all of you. I have acknowledged many of you. Thank you all for being in our midst, especially as some dear friends who have come. I think brother tried to call me, brother Selva tried to call me, and we were in the midst of a practice, but I thank God brother Selva and his parents are here, praise God. We met of all the places in Patel Brothers when we were in the checkout line, and that's where we came to know each other. And somehow they found out that I'm a pastor, and I praise God. Amen? Praise God. God is a good God. Brother, welcome all of you. Welcome to our congregation this morning. This morning, as we want to be very sensitive about what God is being speaking to me, as you all know that we are going through a great adventure. It's an adventure. It's like a safari ride. You know, the other day I was watching a video clip. When you are told something, you should do it exactly as the people say. So, a family went to a park and they were told not to come out of their vehicles. They were told to close their doors and go through the lane. Don't come out. But you know, our people, especially some of our children, they don't obey. They think that they know better. So, one of the clippings, one family, they went out, a mother and a small baby and father, they are coming out of the car and they are looking around to see the scenery, and all of a sudden a lion comes and somebody is in the back taking this video and say, "Oh my God, oh my God, oh my God, the lion is going to eat up the people." And the mother and the small baby standing outside, out of the car in the forest, and I was looking and scratching my head and said, what foolishness. What foolishness.
And we can see the person who was taking the video, that person is crying, Lord, save them, Lord, save them. Many times we come to the Lord to save us when we disobey Him. We go out of our path and we disobey God and then we cry out, God, save me, God, save me. But the beautiful thing of the video is nothing happened. That lion for some reason did not attack. I held my breath as the video was going on, because the lion came near and I was about to pounce on that mother, an Indian family, by the way, Indian family, a mother with a small baby. Just imagine, the lion would have put the whole mouth inside the mother and the child in one and eaten and swallowed up. When God tells us to follow a certain path, sometimes, you know, we disobey and then we cry out, oh, please pray. Please pray, I am in a trouble. I am losing my job. Or, you know, so many things. But I'm just telling, not everything is because of our fault. But sometimes it's our fault. And so, just wanted to bring that before you. So, we are in a great adventure as we are moving forward. And if you remember, the last Sunday, we went into the place where we looked into Pharaoh and how he dealt with the people of Israel, how he would not let them go to worship the Lord. And through that we learned some lessons about the devices that Satan uses to trick us and not allow us to truly worship the Lord as they ought to. Let me move forward from there. We all know the story of what happened. The people of Israel got delivered from Egypt. We know the big miracle in Red Sea, where God opened a door for them. And the word of God says, if you read the passage after that, we see that the people of Israel came out with great abundance and through the leadership of Moses. The word of God is very particular to say that it gives the number of people who came out of Egypt. There were 600,000 men on foot, beside women, children, and a mixed multitude. We can say about 1.2 million people at least came out of the land of Egypt on their way to the promised land. And as they came, their first problem they encountered was the Red Sea. But you know, God did a great deliverance. And we understand that. But I want to draw your attention to the passage that says about they all came out as the armies of the Lord. They went up in orderly ranks. There was an order in the way the children of Israel came out of Egypt. We are also told that we are soldiers in the army of the Lord. Today, we are all soldiers. Some are foot soldiers, some are captains, some are commanders, but we are all soldiers in the army of the Lord. And Apostle Paul tells Timothy in 2 Timothy chapter 2 verse 3 that you must endure hardship as a good soldier of Jesus Christ. We are all soldiers in God's army. How many of you agree with me? Can I see your hand?
Amen.
Amen. I saw some of people don't agree with me, but you are. Whether you agree or not, you have been conscribed to the God's army. We are a soldier with an enemy force that we are battling with every day. But when we understand the story of the Israelites, God did not allow the Israelites to go through the land of the Philistines, even though it was a very short way. What God said, lest perhaps the people change their mind when they see the war and they return back to Egypt. So God started thinking, how can I lead the people through to the promised land? And God saw there was a shortcut. They could have gone, but they have to fight a battle. And people were not ready to fight a battle with the enemy. So what happened? God led them through the wilderness by the Red Sea. As you can see the map here, the red dotted line shows the route of the exodus of the Israelites from the land of Egypt. They went around, they came down. Actually, they could have gone straight ahead to the land of Israel, but God allowed them to go through the wilderness. And what I can tell you is that when they started on the journey, They started facing obstacles. They started facing obstacles. So today, as I want to, my topic for today is that God always has a solution available close to us. Any problem that you encounter in your life, God has a solution for you. Nothing happens other than the plan of God. Anything that is happening in your life today, God is either allowing it to happen or it is according to the plan of God. So we understand God has a solution. So I want you to open your Bibles to Exodus chapter 15. We are coming to the time right after the great crossing of the Red Sea, which is basically equivalent to baptism. So, you know, in the New Testament, we know that Apostle Paul says the Red Sea crossing was like baptism, entering into a new life and a new body in Christ. And after that, let us see what happened. So open your Bibles to Exodus chapter 15. We will read a few verses from verse 22 to verse number 27. Please open your Bibles and read along with me or follow along with me in your Bibles. It says, "So Moses brought Israel from the Red Sea. Then they went out into the wilderness of Shur, and they went 3 days in the wilderness and found no water." Wow. Think about it. God has started a big multitude on a journey. There is no water. They went for 3 days. There is no water. And then what happened? And they came to a place called Marah. But there was water. They could not drink the waters of Marah, for they were bitter. The water they eventually found in Marah, they could not drink it because the water was bitter. And so the name of the place was called Marah. And so what did the people do? Instead of knowing that God is in charge, instead of remembering that just a little time ago, God did a great miracle by causing them to cross the Red Sea on a dry land, they forgot everything about God. And it says they started complaining. It says in verse number 24, "And the people complained against Moses, saying, 'What shall we drink?'" One of the main things that we need to understand is that when problems come, depending upon where we are in our faith life, we either praise God knowing that God is in control and He is doing something great for us, or we start complaining. We say it is God who has made us do this. We start complaining before God. That happens in many people's life. Somebody loses a job. Some child is sick. Don't go to church. Don't pray. Don't read the Bible. Get away from God. Because God, you are responsible for it. But today I want to tell you that there is a solution that is very close to us. We need to understand that God has a solution to your problem. You don't have to go far away. The solution is very close to us. If we realize that God has a master plan, God has a great plan for our lives, and whatever happens in our life only happens according to God's plan and purpose. When we realize that, brothers and sisters, you will not complain. You know, the story of the people of Israel are recorded for our instruction so that we do not repeat the mistakes that they repeated. I want to tell to the people of God today. We all say we are Christians. We all say we are on our way to the promised land. We all say that we are on our way to heaven. But let me tell you, the story of the children of Israel speaks about 1.2 million people that started the journey for the promised land. Only two people entered the land of Canaan. Only two entered the land of Canaan. The rest of the people, they perished in the wilderness. I want to tell you that our faith life is tested when we are in our day-to-day life. How are you leaning upon God? How much are you saying, "God, you are in control. It is out of my hands. I am trusting in you, Lord." How many of you are willing to say that? Here the people of Israel, it says, they complained against Moses, saying, "What shall we drink?" If God is our Father, will He not tell us? Will He not care about us and about our what we drink and what we eat? Isn't God understanding our position right now? If we are without a visa, we have a health issue, we have a problem in relationships. Doesn't God know it? Doesn't God understand it? The question that we need to know is that, how is your attitude before this? Are we going to complain or are we going to praise God? And so it says that they cried to the Lord. Come to verse number 25. It says they cried out to the Lord, and the Lord showed them a tree. When he cast it to the waters was made sweet. You know, as I said, my title is the solution that you have in your life. God has it available very close to us. You don't have to travel afar. Their solution was a tree that had to be put in the water. They had to just wait upon God to hear his direction. And when God told, take that tree and cast it, you will find out. And that is something I want to tell you. Let me tell you a small illustration to make things clear. I hope you will understand what I'm saying. The only survivor of a shipwreck was washed into a small uninhabited island. This man was alone. He was in an island and he was shipwrecked, and nobody survived except this man. So every day this man prayed to God, Lord, rescue me. Every day he was looking at the horizon and for help, but there was no help coming from afar. Exhausted, finally he said, okay, I need to leave here. So he managed to get the wood, the driftwood that was there, and he built up a small hut to store his things. And one day, as he was going out and looking for food, when he returned back, he found that his little hut was in flames. The hut was burning and smoke was coming up. And this man could not believe his eyes. He said, oh, everything is lost. The only thing I had was this hut. This hut is burning. Everything that I have is gone. Everything is lost. And he started crying and said, God, why did you do this to me? The only place I had to live was a small hut. This hut is burning. It is in smoke. I cannot live there anymore. And he was so much, he was disheartened by the whole thing. And that night he went to sleep without a hut, but he said, every help is gone. But do you know, next day morning when this man opened his eyes, there was a sound of a ship that came to the island. It had come to rescue this man. So when the rescuers came upon the island, he said, how did you know that I was here? And the people in the ship said, we saw your smoke signal. And that's how we came to know that you are in this island. And the story behind this is that many times it appears that things are going bad against you, but there is a higher plan that is working out in your life that you need to realize each and every day. Amen? The next time your little hut starts burning to the ground, maybe it's a smoke signal that God is allowing you to go to summon the grace of God upon your life. There is an answer coming. And there is a miracle that is waiting for you if you can lift up your eyes and look to the Lord. Amen. The negative things that you look around, God will turn it into positive. So let me tell you that just as God took the Israelites through the wilderness, it was to test them. Right after crossing the Red Sea, speaks about a child of God who is on a faith journey, who is walking in a journey of life. There are instances in your life where God will bring some tests in your life. It is not to destroy you. It is to strengthen you. It is to strengthen your faith in God. That God is allowing some times of testings. We need to understand the testings of God. And we need to move beyond our limited thinking to know that God has a great plan for us. Let me tell you the story of Jesus Christ. You know, right after his baptism, we know that Jesus was led by the Holy Spirit into a wilderness. Right after his baptism, he spent 40 days and nights without food. And then he was brought to the wilderness. Why? Because his Father, God the Father, wanted to test and put a test to his Son to know that he will stand. And you know that Jesus passed every test. How did he pass the test? He passed it through the word of God. When testings come in your life, how do you overcome the tests? It is through the word of God. Look to the answer. The answer is found in the word of God. Look to the word of God as it relates to your current testing and quote it and start speaking on that. Start speaking life through the word that God has given you. And I'm telling you, miracles are going to happen for you. Amen? In the case of Jesus, Satan came and tested Jesus. I mean, the first one was, you know, make the stone into bread. Jesus was hungry. The Bible says Jesus was hungry. And Satan knew the hunger of Jesus, said, command the stones to be made bread. But Jesus said, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds from the mouth of God. Let me pause here and say, dear brothers and sisters, how many of you read the Bible every day? How many of you meditate upon the Bible every day? Do you know that this is God's word for you? God wants to talk to you each and every day. God wants to give you a daily bread. The bread is not a sandwich that you eat in the morning. The bread is the bread of life that God has given in your hands. Each and every day you need to read it. You need to meditate upon the word. You need to digest it inside. Because when the testing comes, you can quote back and say, no, the Bible says, God says, I don't believe what you're telling me. I don't believe the medical report that says I'm going to die. I have 2 weeks to live. I will not believe that statement. Because my Bible says I will live and declare the glory of God. Amen? Amen. The Bible says no good thing will he withhold from them that walk righteously. I know no bad thing will come into my life. Because God is the one in control. So let me tell you that we need to read every day the word of God. Jesus said, Jesus was tested for 40 days and through the word of God he overcame the testings. But what happened in the case of the Israel people? Look, they came for 3 days, they traveled in the wilderness. They didn't have a drop of water in the wilderness of Shur. And so God was actually testing to see if they would trust him for a miracle so that he can supply them the water to drink. When they came to Marah, they found the water was too bitter to drink and to quench their thirst. And they started complaining. Oh, I wish. They started their complaining. So many of us, when you open your mouth, listen to yourself. What are you speaking? Are you speaking words of complaint? When you think about somebody, do you have good things to speak about them or bad things? Do you accuse people? Do you complain against God? Do you always grumble in your life? Are you happy with what God has given you? Yesterday in for those who came and for those who did not come, you missed some very good meetings. We were in both the meetings, me and Brother Philip and Sister Gigi and Nisi, we were there in both the meetings. Such a wonderful time we had speaking and encouraging one another about godly contentment. We are never happy with what we have. Oh, my Corolla is not moving. I can see that. Oh, that Mercedes Benz is swimming by me. Oh, but look at my Corolla. You know, it's going very, very slow. There's no AC. Oh, I wish I had a bigger house. Oh, I had bigger, better job. Oh, I had better, more beauty. Oh, I was more handsome. Oh, I had a better this and better that. All the time our mind is grumbling and complaining and looking at things that we don't have instead of looking at things that God has given us. Praise God. We discussed on that in both the cell groups yesterday about godly contentment. Contentment with godliness brings great satisfaction in our life. That is what God is looking for. But the people were not happy. It says they started complaining. And so what happened? God started showing a plan for Moses. We know that Moses looked and said, they found a tree there. God said, you put the tree in the water. The moment that the tree was put in the water, it says, the water became sweet for them to drink. You know, the solution was very close by. All they had to do was look up to God and God would have given them the solution, but they complained. And that is a sad thing. So let me tell you this. God has a solution. If anything you forget about my message today, remember this one statement. God always has a solution close to us that is accessible for you in every situation. Let me give you three real life examples very quickly. You know, when Hagar and Ishmael, they were about to die in the wilderness of Beersheba. You know, God heard the prayers of Ishmael and provided them water in the desert. Turn with me to Genesis 21, verses 19 and 20. It says, God opened the eyes of Hagar and she saw a well of water. Her solution was close by to her. She did not even have to go far. God opened her eyes and she saw a well of water. She went in and filled the skin with water, gave the lad to drink, and God was with the lad, and he grew and dwelt in the wilderness, became an archer. You know, the solution for her need was very close to us. God actually opened her eyes and she saw the well that was close by. Let me give you another example, the case of Abraham. I'm not going into the story, but you know that, you know, God, in the time of the crucial need, when he was about to kill his son, God provided a lamb in the bushes. It says that there was a lamb that God provided. And Abraham, it says in Genesis 22, verse number 13, Abraham lifted his eyes and looked, and behind him there was a ram caught by the thicket in his horns. Abraham went and took the ram, offered it up for a burnt offering instead of his son. You know, the solution of the need of Abraham, even while he was worshipping God, was close by. Abraham did not see the ram till the moment he was about to kill the son. But then Abraham lifted eyes and he saw the solution that God had prepared for Abraham at that time. Let me tell you another instance about Elisha. Elisha's servant, you know that the enemy had come and surrounded Elisha's camp, and the servant said, "Oh, master, look, there is an enemy soldier surrounding us. There is no help for us from anywhere." And Elisha prayed to God, "Open the eyes of my servant." I want you to think about this. When God opened the eyes of the servant, it says, he saw the mountain that was full of horses and chariots. The heavenly army had come to help Elisha and his servants at that point of time. Brothers and sisters, your eyes are limited to see the work that God is doing. But let me tell you, just like the song we sang earlier, the God of angel armies are surrounding you. They are by your side. God is beside you. He is in front of you. He is behind you. He is holding you. You will not have an issue if you are knowing that God is on my side and his presence is all the time there with me. How many of you can say amen?
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. God is always there by your side. We need to lift up our eyes and look, because God has always a solution that is close to us, that is, he is available to us when we call upon his name. I can also think of one more example before I move forward. You know, the widow of Zarephath, when God decided to do a miracle for her, what did the prophet Elijah say? "What do you have with you?" She said, "I have a jar of little oil." That is what she had, and said, he said, "Go and start begging, ask the neighbors for vessels and start pouring out that oil." With what she had, God used that to be a great miracle for her. Today, let me tell you that your solution is lying very close to you. You don't have to go away. You don't have to go across the sea, look for a prophet, look for a man of God, look for somebody different. Your solution is very close to you. You need to look up to God and ask you, "God, open my eyes." Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Are you all with me here? Are you all listening to me? This is God speaking to you, brother and sister. You choose to disbelieve God. Your words come out as words of accusation. You speak words of doubt and unbelief. And then you are captured in the things that God does not want you to be. But God has a solution which is close to you. God fixed the water problem for the people of Israel. God gave them a place to rest. It says that in verse number 27, they came to another place called Elim. There was 12 wells of water. There were 70 palm trees. they rested there. God has a solution for whatever you have in your life. And He knows your need. God knows your need. You don't have to struggle. You just have to look up to God and say, Lord, open my eyes that I can see what you have prepared for me. Amen. We may face impossible things, but God has a solution close to us. So just like the Israelites were protected and they were preserved and trained, God tested them through various trials. Let me speak to each of you right now. Are you feeling impatient and discouraged if things are not happening your way right now? Are you feeling discouraged? Then it is God speaking to you. My son, my daughter, don't get disheartened. Don't give up on God, because God is just waiting to rescue you and take you to the next level of your life. There is a path that God has prepared for you. You need to run on that path. Don't go out to check up the scenery outside. Just keep on running on the path, because there is an enemy trying to gobble you up if you go out of your path. Remember that. We have an enemy like a roaring lion. He is seeking to devour you. You need to stick on your path. I want you to take you to one final verse before I close here. Hebrews chapter 12. And verses 1 and 2 says that let us lay aside every weight, the sin that so easily ensnares us. Let us run with endurance the race that is set before us, looking unto Jesus. Who is Jesus? He is the author and finisher of our faith. He did exactly that. When he had problems in his life, Jesus looked to God the Father. And so today God, he is sitting at the right hand of God. We are told to look at Jesus as we walk in this journey together. So today the word of God is challenging you. Are you willing to trust God? I don't know what situation you are going through today, but God says, trust in me that I am going to lead you through that situation. Can we all just stand up on our feet right now? I want you to all close your eyes and bow your heads for a moment. I want you to know that you are on a journey. God knows the way that you're taking. Even God knows your thoughts. God knows your plan. God knows everything that you're going through. And every eyes closed. I want you to close your eyes right now. You know, you are on a way to a promised land. You are on a journey. And every day as we walk, there are a lot of tests that come in our life. There are problems that come. Never mind, they are part of our day-to-day life. The life of a child of God is not without problems, because Jesus said, in this world, you will have tribulations. In this world, you will have problems, but be of good cheer, because I have overcome the world. When we have problems, we need to turn our eyes to Jesus. Let us trust in God. Let us obey the Lord. Can every eye close? I want every eye to be closed and every head to be bowed down right now. I want you to look into your life and think about, are you willing to trust God? Are you walking and knowing that God is in control over your life? Are you struggling with an issue that you don't have an answer for? Today I want to tell you that God has an answer for you. Yes. Today I'm just here to declare that God is going to do a miracle in your life. How many of you believe that? God, you're going to do a miracle for me. Maybe it is regarding your job. I don't know. Maybe it is regarding your children, regarding their education, regarding their future, regarding their career. Maybe it is regarding a relationship that you are having issues with right now. I want you to close your eyes and know that God says, I am in charge. I am in control. Our God is in control. Hallelujah. There is no one like our God. He knows our end and He knows our beginning. He is the Alpha and He is the Omega. He knows everything that you're going through, brothers and sisters, and He can sympathize, because Jesus lived a life of a human being. There is nothing that He does not understand what you're going through. So today, can you make a determination? Lord, I'm going to trust in you. I'm going to put my trust in you. Can you speak out that word and say, Lord, I'm going to trust in you. Speak it out. Speak out the word. Lord, I'm going to trust in you, Lord. I'm going to obey what you're telling me to do. I'm going to look up to you, Lord. I'm going to wait to hear your voice, because that is what is the greatest thing for me today. Hallelujah. Everyone, every eye is closed. Hallelujah. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Can we just sing and worship the Lord as we trust and obey? Hallelujah.